Commissioner Hill.
Present.
Commissioner Fickle.
Present.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Present.
And Commissioner Rung.
Here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Okay, public comment for items on the agenda. Not covered by a public hearing, this is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 weeks' minutes regarding any item on the agenda. Public comment received by the deadline will be read aloud at the meeting.
No comments.
No. Public comment, no sign-in cards. We have our consent calendar, which is inclusive of the meeting minutes, workshop session of July 15th, regular session of August 15th, and the workshop session of August 19th. Also, the financials for June and July, and the event calendar. Are there any additions or corrections to any minutes? Someone would like to approve the consent calendar?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to approve the consent calendar as presented.
Second.
The move is seconded to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
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 Consent calendar is approved. The item is listed. Our first item is an advisory item. FEMA alternate project. Deputy Director McGrath.
That will be me. Thank you, Commissioner Rohn. If you look on page 29 of your packet, just gives a brief synopsis on what this is about. If you go back to the December 2015 storm that we had at the port, FEMA had allocated about $788,000 for us to make certain repairs across port properties, but they were repairs that really didn't make sense for us to make because we weren't going to be using those areas east side of the boatyard based on the north side and then the south side as well. And then some areas east of the Red Building and a few miscellaneous. So we talked with FEMA about this back in 2023 and in 2024. They allowed us to do what's called an alternate project. What we did is basically take those funds and turn them into a separate project which allowed us to purchase equipment rather than doing the repairs for the infrastructure. And we had initially slated that to go to the travel lift, but because of the administrative changes on the federal side, they have now told us that we can't have any extensions that go past October 31st of this year, meaning that the funds need to be spent and the equipment has to be on the property by October 31st of this year. There is no way that we're gonna get a travel lift on the property by that time. So, in talking with FEMA over the last couple of weeks, they did say that what we can do is we can purchase equipment for that same amount. It just has to be done by October 31st and have it on the property by October 31st. So, what we're intending to do is outfit the port with equipment over the next couple of months in a way that we haven't been able to do for a very, very long time. So, and you'll see a couple of those items on the agenda tonight, but we're looking at getting things like skid steers, mini excavators, forklifts, cargo van for the marina. I've got a handful of things on a list, but I just wanted to give the commission an update of what's going on and why we're going to be seeing those funds. And then with that, I'll just open it up if anybody's got any questions.
So, how much have we got to spend?
$788,000. And we get 75% of that as a match. So about $590,000 of it would be given to us by FEMA. If we don't spend that money, we don't get the $590,000 from FEMA. So that's...
And as we see two items on our action section,
correct.
Purchases, I guess we could assume that that's where we will see those purchase.
Correct.
Being made, so the commission will see those items on our agenda, future agendas.
Correct. These are all unbudgeted, so they would be coming to the commission for approval.
They are budgeted?
They are not budgeted, so they will be coming to the commission for approval.
Where does that put the travel budget on future?
We are going to be submitting a CIDP grant this month, and the intent is to just ask for the travel lift in addition to the additional infrastructure at the boatyard. So.
Any additional questions? Comments?
If I could just make a couple comments real quick, I guess one thing off the top as far as the budget goes, so although the budget wasn't specific to equipment that we would be purchasing, we did have that expenditure with the max that was built in to our budget for the boatyard for the travel lift, so really it's just moving from one area of budget to another, but technically it is non-budgeted. And it does present one of the things that we experience a lot that's a bit of a challenge when it comes to planning and how we deploy our capital. You know, we go through this pretty exhaustive budget process every year with sort of the best of intentions, but a lot of our budget when it comes to the capital side is really contingent upon which monies and whether it's through grants, whether it's through legislative help that you're able to obtain. And so this is a good example of, you know, a lot of the equipment that we're going to be buying is not necessarily the highest priority for the port if the money were free and clear to where we would spend that money. But when you start to look at, well, it's, you know, it's $788,000 and you're only covering 25% of that, well, you're basically just throwing away money if you don't take advantage of that, even if it's not the highest priority. And I do worry some about just the perception of that, that my goodness, the port's out here acting like they have no money and they have all this deferred maintenance, but oh my gosh, they got a new this, a new that. And so I think we're going to have to make sure that we educate and people understand that the reason for this is because of the money that's available to us and the time constraints is why we're moving on this as quickly as we are. But this isn't the only case of this. I mean, we're, especially with Shane's help, we're out applying for grants all the time, and then when you hit, you kind of have to take advantage. And in this case, well, we discussed it a lot, and I guess in theory, I mean, you'd be better off to buy all this equipment and then just resell it and make money off of it than passing up this opportunity. So I don't love how the system is set up, and especially now on as short a notice as we had for the lack of an additional extension, and of course with, you know, changes federally right now, especially with FEMA, there's, you know, some real concerns. So I think it's in our best interest to get this money spent, to get that money coming into the port. And, you know, for a lot of it, even if it's not our highest priority, it is equipment that that we do need, but just have never really had the resources to take advantage of. So all that to say, I'm happy that we're able to take advantage of it, but I don't like how this whole system works, how a lot of our decisions have to be driven by how we can best leverage our dollars and where we can get money in the short term.
I think the equipment, will be an asset to the port's operations over the long term for 15 years or so, so medium term. So it is an opportunity, and I'm glad, I mean, you're going to have a problem. This is the kind of problem I think you want to have.
Yes.
So. Thank you. Are there any other questions, comments? We'll move on to action items. We have a commercial lease agreement, minor detail on page 31. Staff, please.
Sure. So this is a lease that worked out with John Minor from Minor Details, sitting right in the front row here, answering questions if we may have them. But this is for the bales hanger that we had been trying to rent for a number of months now. For you that are unaware, what John does, he has a detailing business located right next door to Custom Excavating. And so one of the things that I talked with John, and I'd actually met with John a number of times over the last year or so to discuss this possibility. And, you know, I think it's important to understand when it comes to that space that the only way that he could be there is if he provides some service to the aviation industry. right? So it would have to involve being able to detail aircraft and those types of things, and then the obviously the autos that he details would be part of that. So in order to really have this make sense for the port and make sense for John, you know, a lot of times what we would do is say, hey, we're just going to do this on a month-to-month and see how it works, but that really can't work for John. He needs to have something that's going to be stable for him for the next 5 years. So this is a five-year term lease with rent of $2,300 per month. It would be adjusted after that time, but what we're looking to do is to get him in starting October 1st. And I think overall, this is something that could raise the awareness of the airport, of people, of the services at the airport. So, you know, we have the fly-ins, we get a lot of people with cars out there. Of course, people flying in GA all the time, and those numbers are increasing all the time. So I think having John out there, having his services out there, is going to be a draw for the airport. I think it's something that will be a very good use of that space. So with that, I will turn it over to any questions you may have for me or for John.
Can we back up a little bit? We have an industrial park there, and our intentions are to build some buildings there. Is there a possibility you would want to go there down the road sometime?
As opposed to the current location?
Yeah, because that's on the flight line, and I think the FAA would probably have a gut ache over that sooner or later, because you start getting cars on the flight line that doesn't belong there.
Right.
And they are involved pretty deeply with the fence and everything around it,
right,
security. They're sure going to have some objections. Quite frankly, if I do, I wouldn't sign this lease. But if you got it on three, 5 year lease on a month to month basis, what kind of lease is that?
It's not on a month to month. It's a 5 year.
The month to month would commence after the initial 5 year term.
After the 5 year.
Month to month what?
The month to month, and this is pretty standard language in our leases, would commence after the initial 5 year term. In actuality, if we got to that point, it's likely that we would just renegotiate an extension of the lease, is likely what would happen. Or if there were other spaces available that were more conducive to their business, then that might be an option as well.
Yeah, if those buildings were to be built, then that would be an opportunity.
Yeah.
In the future, in 5 years from now, maybe.
So. Is that something you would be interested in? The industrial park is set up specifically for that kind of...
What it doesn't do is allow me to detail aircraft, though, because they would not be able to bring it to me. I mean, right now I've done Brim Aviation helicopter twice. I've done the Coast Guard, Commander Neil Corbin just told me to get a new helicopter. February, supposed to go and ceramic coat that for them. They're not able to bring it to the current building, but where I'm at now, that would give me the ability to bring aircraft in from the area and from out of area right into the shop as a secondary to expand the business. I've been where I'm at for 18 years. And in order, we have that ability to do it, we just don't have the spaces, as you can't plan your plane and bring it in one spot. So I think it's ideal. Being where it would be, it would give me that ability. I wouldn't be able to offer the service of the ceramic coating on airplanes, on aviation, without the ability to bring them off the runway into the hangar. So the space is ideal for me. And that's why we push for it.
I think that sounds really good. I'm glad that you are serving the aviation community already in that capacity, it sounds like.
Right now I have Greg Carano flies in and out in a jet, and his truck is Captain Manzanita, but they bring it, have it detailed before he flies in every time. Leaves it at my shop, and then as he flies in, his driver brings it right on the tarmac for him when he flies in, and we plan on doing some storage there. Like, you call me up, have the car ready on a battery tender in a cover in the big building, bring it right out when they pull up. When he flies out, he can just leave it. We right there, we pull it in the shop, and I think it offers a service for the people. Now, Eric Paulson's expected to show interest in it also. You have a jet come and go from FlexJet. So we've had inquiries on it. I just haven't been able to offer it from where I'm at. And so
I also think that if you can attest to, I think you just had your plane detailed
you know, instance that was a couple weeks ago where if we had it right there, right where Thaddeus Swain is getting detailed, is a hangar. And it could be a one-stop shop for some of these. I mean, they're just in the last 6 months, if we look at flight records of these Gulfstreams and what have you coming in, you know, we have it set up wonderful with the fuel pricing and everything. It, Astoria is becoming a hub that you can't replicate from the peninsula down past Tillamook even. I mean, it's really something that could...
As the cars in the flight line, I don't see an issue. I mean, I'm doubling the square footage, more than doubling the square footage of the building I'm in now. And so if there is vehicles outside in my area, not the area next to me, because he's got all our cars there, trails in, or at least Dean's personal shop is on Ford. But my area is like, I'm a organized group person. Yeah. So the stuff would just be inside the building. One, just out of the way, out of the dust, out of the UV with a car cover on it. There's no reason to have things out in the daytime danger zone, basically, for planes.
Especially with Coast Guard there, I mean, as we know, that they're taxiing back and forth. If you're having customer starters, they would much rather know that it was inside the hangar door shut, protected, yeah, and safe.
There's a side man door for people to come and visit, so no one will be customers. Nobody will be driving through that area. That'll be myself or my brother. My wife there was a dental hygienist. She works with me now. She retired. And so it's just a small three people, maybe a fourth. My wife rides with me, so there's not a lot of employee parking. The idea of what we've thought of is, so far, we're trying to cover all that just so there wouldn't be any hiccups on our end. So.
It's safer, more secure, and let's be honest, aesthetically it looks better, knowing that there's not going to be this car, that car, trucks coming, going. It's the beauty of having it.
I have no plans on having it on a flight line. I mean, it's right in front of the building. It's little Porsches and things like that that I have, but that stuff, that will be right there. I mean, front of the building needs to be older for us to work out of.
That's very interesting. It's exciting, I'd say. So,
I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, I want to disclose a potential conflict of interest because my company wanted that hangar.
All right.
It's out of our price range.
Right.
But the price that they gave it to you for is in our price range.
Right.
So I don't feel like I was given enough information about this, but I know I don't need to. I'm just... So I talked to our attorney because I wanted to make sure that I dealt with this correctly.
All right.
So
yeah.
Disclosing the conflict of interest. My question is, I am a concern about Jim's concern that it seems like it's primarily an auto detailing shop. But to get into this building, you're going to do airplanes too.
Yes.
And there's a lot of preaching, right? You have to, this could be a good business plan, and this is what we're going to do. But so I kind of understand that. My question is about the vehicles going through the gate. Is there a way that they can get into the building, or are they going to all go around through the gate?
So as of right now, I mean, the time that I put in, the cars that I'm doing are very like math. Like we maybe do 2 to 3 cars a day at the most if they're not already in there, because my details aren't like in and out type things. They're sometimes multiple day. That's right. As of right now, that's the only way to get it, but it's maybe 3 cars a day coming and going. There's not a lot of stuff just because I'm not a high volume shop, which is a time. So there's not, for yes, the gate is the only way into the front of the building right now. You know, unless the port was to address that by adding a door or something to the building. But on the other side, so you aren't using that. But as of right now, that is the only way into the building, as opposed to the man door that for customers.
And so the your employees would be driving cars around.
Me and my brother, there's two of us. My wife, but she's more office.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then another question I have was, it is difficult for us to wash planes there at the airport because of the runoff and things like that. Is there any, how are we going to handle
that? On that end, being that it's on sewer there, on that building, we've got Steve Mackey, who's going to be putting in like a channel drain.
Essentially like a French drain. So you could have something where a lot of it's done internally. That way you're trapping anything. And we're also, there is a lot too that, as you probably will know, FAA regulated chemicals, and it's maintaining that there's
And no storm drain stuff was, you know, more as if it goes into, you know, permeable surface, gravel or grass they're fine with. And then it was, as long as nothing's going directly into the storm drain, you're fine. But we plan on it. We have, I already talked to Steve and have write up for putting in a drain, to, which will go into where the bathroom and all that into the building. It'll go into the sewer. Then we're fine. So we've already addressed that, or else that would be my first hangup.
And that does include a washout basin too, so you can remove the top, gather everything. So it's, you know, as you're getting this debris stuff off, what we don't want is, of course, it's just the mud and the milk. This is all trappable. You can clean it out easily, and that way you're not. Because, I mean, that is a new septic system. We want to keep it nice for as long as possible. So keep that in consideration.
So it would be different than, like, us out there, because that goes into the storm drain. So everybody will take to something that goes into the septic.
Yeah, the first man door, 3 feet back from that, is essentially a washout and a hub point. After Steve looked at it, the best way to do it is you can run a pipe.
It's gravel outside the building.
Of course, you don't have to chopping that stuff up. The only thing you would be is cutting about an 8-inch wide strip closest to the wall in indoors. And it's kind of like a French drain with the grates over it. And then that drains parallel to the building. And right in there, you're running about 35 feet of pipe. So nice and simple. And nothing goes into the storm drain.
Aren't we supposed to put that into the sewer system?
That is the sewer system,
right?
There's like the new holding base map. You probably know better than I do what the reference is, but where it drains from there before.
Yeah, that's been part of this. And talking with Stacy, we're all aware of it. When they would get in there, we'd just make sure that all of that was done properly, that would comply with our 1200Z and any of the DEQ permits that are required.
Thank you. I appreciate the amount of thought that you all put into it, and it's wonderful to have what looks like an entrepreneurial approach to this. I just want to make clear with staff, what will be the process for getting customers through the gate to the shop?
Customers don't need to go through the gate to the shop. That's just going to be minor staff.
Your staff will be doing that?
The driving the vehicles from the gate onto the boat, so I'm not going to give a code out to everybody, one, and then two, there is a side door, two, where customers would initially come in.
The customers would walk in. Now, we're familiar with that. We helped build it.
Okay.
But when the cars go through the gate and come around into the driveway to the folding door, that's going to be your employees taking them out and bringing them in.
Only because, I mean, the cars, I think we detail your car, it gets dropped off in the morning, that can just be out front where the parking is, and then we take it from there and do over the work, and then at the end of the day, it's done, deliver it, wait for them at the outside. So there should, that's one of the benefits, is that I don't have people pulling up in front of the door and blocking their shop, just pulling right up. I have people pull right in sometimes.
Well, this is good with FAA and Homeland Security.
They shouldn't have an issue. I haven't checked with them specifically on it, but.
Why not?
Because it's got an aviation component to it.
Well, it troubles me. It troubles our two aviators. Mm-hmm. Have you checked with any of the SAGES on the Airport Advisory Committee?
No.
John Reichel, Gary Coates?
No.
I mean, I want to support the concept. I think we might need to work something out to make sure that we don't get scrutiny that we don't anticipate on automobile travel to a private enterprise on the airport, which I'm all for, but I think it should be checked out.
If we made a motion contingent upon you calling, can you make two calls to the state, federal authority, whoever?
Sure.
Make that call. The motion would be approved pending his verification of that issue.
Can we get it in writing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So from my education, can you say
going a little bit further?
We can pass the motion, but it will be with the directive that Matt will call the relevant authorities
so.
Yeah, and that's some of it's new to us here again. That's why, as long as we're good with putting the drain in and having our catch area water, grass is a gray area. They're fine with that as we find out it's kind of why it's been over there. And as long as stuff's going to a sewer rather than a storm drain, you're fine. So that's what gives us the ability to, if there was no sewer ability, I would not be able to be there. So.
Just to piggyback on that as well. So I work at IBEG, so I handle all of the parts and services. So your guys' tractor at the airport, I service all that, the mowers, that's me. I deal directly with those guys over there. I've known John a long time, worked for him for a number of years. Thaddeus and I took the ground school, and I'm doing my aviation as we speak.
You sound like one of them.
No. I've done every single one of them. Anyway, so I love aviation. I know Dave real well. I get out on his planes and fly. I'm here not only as a friend of his, but because I'm closely knit in with this. So anything that we can do from the aviation side, I mean, we love this stuff. We want to be a part of it. We want to expand this. We want to take an awesome airport and offer something that is going to have people, they're already flying in for the amazing fuel prices. This is just going to compound it.
Commissioner Hill, you have any thoughts?
No. Quite enough.
Back up just a little bit.
Yes, sir.
My suggestion, the industrial part, I know that's down the road a little bit, but I know Matt's been working on doing something there, and this would be an ideal project, or we could probably, if we had a contractor, we could revenue bond it and get it up pretty fast. What size of building and everything would you need?
You need a taxiway between the airport and you need a taxiway between the airport and...
No.
He wants to service airplanes and helicopters from the Coast Guard.
We do have, the Coast Guard is having us come to their hangar.
Do the Coast Guard too?
They're getting a new bird in February this year, and they want us to ceramic it. Brim Aviation has had us twice come to theirs and work on those. I've needed to, but this would give it the ability to have. Only reason I've done that is because basically right down the street I can come down there, but if I have a space to do it, I would prefer to be able to do more. I'm just hindered by that for the flight line.
Any other thoughts? Also, the beauty of having it right there next to, like, let's say where some of these larger jets taxi up and are parked. I mean, as expensive as they are to run, moving farther, this and that, people to do it, being that close is kind of a home run for just the cost value of being able to do something like that for those people.
Well, you mentioned FlexJet.
How many?
I can see that being a draw for them, that they could be on the ground for an afternoon.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How many planes do you got in your hip pocket?
How many what?
that you can work on.
Well, once the word's out, I mean, yeah. How many hangars there are full? I know a lot of it, there could be storage of other things, but for the most part, I think most all those hangars are rented out, and what, maybe 3/4 of them do have planes that are, aside from a wipe down with a wet chamois, don't really have the option for anything, but if they could do a 3-minute taxi out and down.
It's the coating that we have, a new ceramic coating. The durability and what it offers, especially for heat and things like that. Brimstart first had us use it on the 109 because of the soot. They battled the corrosion and this. And there's salt studies where you dip this in salt for 24 hours. That doesn't affect it. It doesn't. I mean, it resists 1800 degrees heat. So as opposed to just wax being like an oil, it's what the ceramic cleaning the airplanes and like getting that part is one thing. But the ability of the ceramic, I mean, bugs and washing and the corrosion resistance is what's the big thing with it. It's relatively new. Around 2018 it came out. I do 3 or 4 a week on vehicles right now. And so once somebody with a small Cirrus or something came in and experienced like how easy it is to clean it, I'd
be flying
the commander down, Neil Corbin down at the Coast Guard, I've done his wife's truck, his truck, his boat, everything was surrounding it. Now he's like, I want you to come do the helicopter. We battle that, you know, the soot burning into the side of it, and this, and it resists that where it waxes up as a bunch of oil. It's a lotion on your skin, it washes right off, especially in salt air, where this does. That's where I see, that's like why I would put this in and see it growing. And, you know, detailing airplanes hasn't ever really been of anything, but this has been, this is what's adding to it. And once somebody feels it washes, what, how easy it cleans up after it's done. In my pocket, there's not a lot, but because I'm not on the flight line, it's something that...
Has it been something you can offer?
I created the first detail job in this county about 18 years ago. I got the service, and it's grown every year since. And I'm to the point where we're maxed out on cars, and I just think this would be a neat service to offer that side of it. It's a huge benefit.
Okay, so if we could move forward with the motion potentially here to approve a lease agreement between the Port of Astoria, Minor Detail LLC, contingent upon Deputy Director checking with state and federal authorities as far as potential conflicts.
So move.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Are there any additional questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Congratulations, and thank you for your first appearance.
Thank you.
Next item is the purchase of a telescopic boom lift. I'll turn that over to staff.
Yeah, if you'll turn to page 46 in your packets, commissioners. The next two items are related to the first advisor item that we mentioned. These are equipment purchases related to that FEMA alternate project. And so what we're looking for from the commission today is approval for the purchase of a telescopic boom lift for $30,262 from Oregon Surplus, and it's a JLG 860SJ with 1,962 hours on it. And then also looking for the approval for the purchase of a mini excavator from Pape Machinery with 660 hours on it for a total of $93,936.42.
Since we have Joe Teddy in the audience, I don't know, for everybody's edification, if you could share with us what the plan is for each of those pieces of equipment.
The boom lift will help out in the boatyard. We've been limited on some of our, you know, heights we'd like to reach out there, and also around port property, light poles, you know, buildings. It'll help get us to those heights that we need. The mini excavator is offering some options that it's not the lowest price machine, but it has certain options on it that will fill our needs around here and at the airport if needed.
Okay, the first item, we should take these one at a time, I assume.
This money that you were talking about, the FEMA?
Correct.
The one thing that we do need at the airport is a bigger machine than that. But we need something with a brush hog and a bucket and a grab bucket, you know.
That's coming.
The forks on to pull those wheels out. We got about 600 acres to turn it up.
I don't think he's going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. We'll have another meeting and another piece of equipment.
Okay.
Do, so. This is just the start.
Yeah, just the start.
That's where we really need it.
So we'll start with that item, the boom lift for $30,262. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll do that. I'll move to approve RFP. Just give money to purchase the telescopic boom lift for the
operator for that machine. He usually does most of the. Operating for customers in the boatyard.
You're not thinking about like renting it to customers or.
Well, it would be rented through to the customer with an operator.
Okay.
And operated by the port.
Thank you.
Maybe a car boss of the family center is going to operate it too?
I'm hoping to.
Christmas like that.
Any other questions or comments? All those in favor of purchasing the telescopic boom lift?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. The next item for consideration is the purchase of a mini excavator as detailed by our staff. Is there staff, you think you need to make any additional explanation on that, or do we have the information we need to make a motion?
What size is that?
It's a 16,000 pound machine.
1 yard?
60G model, yeah.
Is that a 1 yard machine?
I don't think, I'm not familiar with what a 1 yard machine is.
Well, a bucket full of mud.
Yeah. I don't know, clean up buckets probably, yeah, you know, maybe close to a yard.
Is there a motion for approval on that?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Is there any additional questions or comments? Purchase of the John Deere compact excavator. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Public comments for non-agenda items. Do we have any non-agenda item public comments? Mr. O'Grady?
Out of 890455 Peter Johnson Road. Here to entertain the commission to see if there's a possibility of changing the meeting time to 6 o'clock to where the public can show up and have some input on the port of Astoria. The 4 o'clock meeting, most people are working till 5 o'clock and cannot be here at 4 o'clock. It would be nice to get some involvement here in the port a little bit more than what we have. So it'd be nice to see that change, maybe at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Not right now.
No.
Commissioner Stevens?
Thank you. I did attend the Finance Committee meeting. I don't have anything remarkable to report, although it was a good meeting. I did find a notice in the paper, I'm sure staff is aware of it, that the City of Warrenton Planning Commission is going to hear the Port of Astoria utilization of our property out there in the Skipping On as a compensatory mitigation. Been waiting over a year for that. The question would be for staff, you want to show a force there or would that be counterproductive? Do you have any recommendations?
We do. I have that in my notes. Do you want me to wait to the end or talk about it now?
Let's do it now.
So Commissioner Stevens is correct. The hearing just got announced late last week. That hearing is September 11th, 6 p.m., Warrenton City Hall. So we've been in communication with our attorney on this. And so it's my understanding that we will be getting a letter of support from City of Warrenton staff that will accompany that application on the 11th, which is huge. It's what we've been hoping for a while now. Important to note that the letter of support is going to be for the alternative DSL site. Not the primary site that we had originally applied for. So as you know, we have two pending applications right now, and that was sort of the give and take as they were willing to support the alternative. alternative site. And so the plan is to move forward with that. We have been working on late last week and early this week some correspondence to get folks to that meeting just to show support for our stakeholders. When I receive the report, what I can do is even put together some talking points. Legally, they're required to have that report available 7 days, calendar days prior to the meeting. So that would be on Thursday, the 4th, that report should be available. And so we'll start to prepare comments, planning on having our attorney, Garrett Stevenson, speak. I will speak, and then others, if they're willing. We'd like to get as much support there as we can, because if we can get that approval, then we can move forward. If the Planning Commission approves it, it doesn't even go to the City Commission. So the hope would be is September 11th to get that approved so that we can move forward with our federal application.
Thank you.
And everyone on the Senate room probably already knows, but that has to do with getting the $27 million to redevelop here too. Significant, probably the most significant thing we'll ever do if we are able to get that approval. So it's incredibly important. If that answers your question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, anything else you want to?
Negative.
Commissioner Pickle? I'm trying. I've got nothing. Commissioner Hill?
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything additional, so we'll move to Executive Director comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm to a fairly short list tonight, and I already covered some of it. I guess first I wanted to apologize to the Commission for missing the meeting 2 weeks ago. Been at the port over 10 years, and that was the first meeting I've missed due to sickness. I was in pretty bad shape, and so thanks to Director McGrath for being there in my absence, and kind of take pride on not missing like that, but it was, I would not have been capable of sitting there, so I apologize for that. One big update I was going to make it at the last meeting, I think I've talked to some of the commissioners about this, but I did have an interesting opportunity last month at the Port of Portland. I was invited there by Congresswoman Bonamici, and it was a fairly small group, and it was specific to ports in her district, and so it was held at the Port of Portland, and so the Executive Director, Curtis Robinhold, was a part of that meeting from the Port of Portland. Kent Cash, who's the COO at the Port of Vancouver. Sean Clark, the Executive Director for the Port of Columbia County. And then myself, the four ports that were represented, and then PNWA, Dina Horton was there as well. She's the Deputy Director now at PNWA. And so it was an interesting discussion. We met for a couple hours, and it was interesting. Obviously, kind of the joke we use here, if you've seen one port, you've seen one port, meaning that they're all a little different, that they're different in size and scope, that the types of businesses they engage in. But what's interesting, with the four ports that were represented, that you know, you have the Port of Portland, which is obviously massive, the Port of Vancouver, which is quite large, and then two smaller ports, with Astoria and Columbia County, was how similar some of the problems were. And so specifically, we were talking about dredging issues, as well as waterfront infrastructure. Congresswoman Bonamici, amongst our electeds, I've always said this, she's been probably the most engaged, and she has an incredible memory. I don't know how she does it, but little details that I might have shared with her a year ago, she can recall. I do enjoy spending time with her because I know she retains it, and she takes that, and actually there's action created. I know sometimes I get frustrated when you sit in a lot of these meetings and you feel like you're educating lawmakers on certain things, and it feels like sometimes there's just no action that takes place after that, and you wonder, well, was it worth it to spend the time that it took and all the preparation and that kind of thing? And so, but there was, you know, a lot of agreement on some of the solutions in terms of dredging, whether it's, you know, permitting, work windows, different types of regulation, and just how important it is in order to keep these ports viable. And I kind of used a bit of an analogy. It was, you know, it's been big news lately in the state of Oregon with you know, potential cuts to ODOT, and then the corresponding, I think the House just passed legislation the other day to increase the budget for ODOT based on, you know, a lot of the feedback they had received. And, you know, one way to think of it is dredging is just kind of like, you know, roads and highways, but for the water. It's creating those access points, and it doesn't get as much PR, and although I would make the case that it has a similar impact, but it's more of an indirect impact on folks that they wouldn't realize until those channels are no longer able to navigate those channels, and all the goods that we rely on or the goods that are exported are no longer able to do that. So it was a good conversation, and I did have a chance. Curtis Robin Hold was very generous for this time, and had a chance to speak with him kind of one-on-one after the meeting for probably 20 or 30 minutes, which was pretty cool to kind of get his perspective on things and managing a port like Portland that's obviously very different, has its own set of challenges. And so I think it was a good opportunity to get to do that, and probably good for the port to have an involvement in that meeting. I think that's all I had in terms of updates. We touched on the stuff with the city of Warrenton. It's been a struggle this last year or so to get to this point. I do appreciate the willingness of Warrenton to work with us and understand that this is vital, and we're getting to the point where time is really of the essence. And so to get them to a point where they were willing to support at least one of our applications is huge, because ultimately we just need to get this done so we can get these federal permits in place so that we can start construction hopefully next year from November. So I'm optimistic, but we're going to take nothing for granted, and any support we can get at that meeting on the 11th is going to be super important. If anybody needs information or wants some bullet points, I am more than happy to provide those.
I'll subscribe to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your any questions for the executive.